want one, wave your hand. Ryan will bring one to you. If you don't have a Bible and you want one, wave your hand, and my son Ryan, good-looking guy, will bring one to you. And then I want you to put your name in it that's yours. You're going to keep it over here too, Ryan. Put your hand up in the air. And somebody sitting near you will help you to navigate to where you want to go. It's so important to have something that you can read the Word in, whether it's, you know, the old-fashioned way in a real Bible or in a notebook and your phone or something, but read it. Real important for you to get it into you. So, Lord, I just thank you for just the next few minutes tonight, that you will be honored, you'll be glorified, everything we do and everything that is said here, God. May you be revealed tonight through and by your Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. I got a call this week from somebody that they said, I know you were preaching to me on Sunday, and if you were here, I talked about Luke's gospel where Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And I talked about serving from another source and how sometimes God will use anything to get his message across. And what he wants to do is to sit on our shoulders, and we have the opportunity. And through that message, I talked about having humility and everything. And the individual was a little upset with me because they thought I was talking about them. And they said that they were humble. And I said this to them, and I want you all to know this as well. When I develop anything, I'm not speaking it to any single one. I'm speaking it to me. I need it. When I told that person, I said, when I put a message together, I talk about humility. I need more humility in my life. I really am not thinking about anybody. I hope that doesn't disappoint some of you either. But I really am not. You ever watch, my wife and I, we like to watch, Law and Order. And every time it comes on, they said the events of this show do not depict any actual thing. You know, they're setting themselves right up there because they're going to talk about somebody. But really, when I share something, I really feel, I got to tell you, sometimes it's really by faith what I'm sharing. It's not, I don't get a, God doesn't drop a note out of the sky to me and say, this is what I want you to do. He doesn't give me a set of notes. I do my best. I'm a farm boy. It's hard for me sometimes. I got to really work at it. You ask my wife. I lock my door at home to my office when I'm in there. I lock it because I don't want anybody coming and walking in. Because you walk in on me while I'm in the middle of it, it take me 15 minutes to get back into that flow again.
Amen. Yeah.
So I lock the door, and sometimes I hear the kick, 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 and then I hear feet walk. They walk away. But I really got to work at it. I mean, I really do. It just, some people, it comes really natural. I was talking to somebody this week about Chris Buzniak. That guy is naturally gifted to communicate. He's got an anointing on him to do that. He can preach better at this stage of his calling. It took me, I've been doing this for 30 years. I was just standing over here thinking today. I've been doing this for 30 years. I'm still learning and developing. And the guy gets saved in jail 3-4 years ago, and the guy's, he's a great preacher, amen? Come on, let's give the Lord a praise on that. My son Ryan, you know, he's got a little edge on it. He grew up in the house with me, but all these young people in here, they're just powerful and incredible, and I'm just so honored and blessed. Aaron Martin, another one of the greatest, I think, preachers here. Just so many great. And I love to hear her dad. He is her biggest advocate. If I say anything, amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, yeah. And I love it, Chuck. You keep on doing it louder. I love it. You know, I came in tonight, too. You know, the stuff that comes to me through the day is just amazing. And I came in, I saw Aaron and Kristen's kids. They're up there at the doors. And I know Chris, he works at cleaning those fingerprints. I'm like, yeah, they're putting fingerprints and hands all over there. And I looked at that maybe for one of the first times of my life. And I said, kids, come here. I want you to go up and put all your hands on there as many times as you can. It's the greatest thing that we could ever have as a church, as a family. Amen? Come on tonight. The hands of children. Come on. Somebody will clean them. I heard Pastor Jim Cimbala of the Brooklyn Tabernacle say one time, he said, if you want a clean church, go to a Mormon church. I've never been to one, but I don't know what it is. So our church is clean, but we want it. I'd love that. So I don't know why I got there, but we'll get into the word now. Matthew chapter 15. I want to read 10 verses to you. I'm going to make a couple comments on it. Matthew 15, verse 29. I'm going to make just a few comments and just share just a couple thoughts at the end. I'm not going to be long. This is so beautiful and so powerful. And I just want to talk about serving like Jesus is another area of looking at how he served and some thoughts about this. And I might have said on Sunday, if you're newly saved or you're just, you know, developing your relationship with Christ, you begin to read those first few books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the things that you read in there are so exciting, so powerful. And here in verse 29, it says, Jesus departed from there. I love that. He departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up on the mountain and sat down there. Then great multitudes came to him. I was talking to somebody, maybe it was Chris I was talking to yesterday, about the power of the altar. God can meet you in your seat, but when you make a motion towards him, something happens in your life. Don't ever discount the power of you getting up out of your seat and making a motion. I don't know, if you're in a church and somebody tells you, you know, meet me at the wall, get up and move. Whether they're off the wall or not, God will meet you there just because you make that move. And so the Bible says, they came to him, and look at what they're saying here, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet. And look at what it says, he healed them. Healed all of them. He didn't distinguish about, well, you know, I love this. This is another beautiful point that is in here, that he didn't qualify any of them. He didn't sit down and have a counseling session and say, you know why you're like this? You did this and this sin and this. And they sinned. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't know what their condition was, but Jesus doesn't make that. My point is, he doesn't make that a prerequisite of what he does in anybody's life. The Bible says he healed them. So the multitude, they marveled, and you and I would too. And when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, they glorified the God of Israel. Anytime the Lord does a great miracle, people will glorify God. In verse 32, it says, now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have continued with me 3 days and they have nothing to eat. Notice in here as well that Jesus, he first heals the multitude, and now he's going to have this communication with his disciples, the ones that are close with him. He called them to himself and he says, I have compassion not only on the ones that you brought to my feet, but I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with me 3 days and they have nothing to eat. And he says, and I don't want to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way. I want you to know that small things matter to him. He said, I've healed, I've restored, and now I want to take care of every one of their needs that are represented there. Do you know something? God is very concerned with the smallest of things in your life. and he loves you, and he knows already all about them. And if you'll just ask him, he'll come rushing to you to lift you up out of that and help you. And even if you're in the wrong, even if you're in a situation that you created, God loves you enough that if you'll trust him, he'll help you move past all of that, and he'll bring you to a whole nother level with him. And the disciples said to him in verse 33, "Where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a multitude?" And I love how the scripture points to a thought here that they were in the wilderness. They were in a place where there was not natural resources. They were in a place where they didn't have anything just, you know, hanging off the trees that they could eat. He says, "Where could we get enough food?" Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" Somebody brought some lunch that day. And they said, "Seven and a few little fish." I love that, little fish. Not big fish, little fish. Seven. We have seven loaves and a few little fish. I wonder what they were saying to Jesus when they said, "a few little fish." I wonder if they wanted to exclaim the point that, listen, these fish aren't big, so I don't know what you're thinking about. They're just little. They're like little sardines or something like that. I have seven loaves and a few little fish. Because even what they had looked small to them. I want to encourage somebody tonight that God doesn't look at how big of what you have. He doesn't look to see how much you have or how big it is. He looks to see how much you have and how you look at it. He said they got little fish. And even what they had, it looked small to them. I want to encourage you, some of you tonight, begin to look at things in a big way. Begin to look. I have had to grow through time and know that God is there to help us and to be a blessing to us, that no matter what circumstances we are in, something good can happen out of it. I don't care how small it is that's happening. If you're sick and you're going through something and you just have a good day, praise God, that's a good day. Yeah, if you're going through a financial problem and somewhere, somehow, a blessing comes to you, and I don't care if it's $2, that's a good day. Look at it as God. Hey, he sees it, he hears it, and he's going to come to it, and he's going to add to it. And he said in verse 35, so he commanded the multitude to sit on the ground, and he took the seven loaves. Now, I want you to look at this. Watch this now. This is the progression of what he does. He took the seven loaves and the fish. So what they had, they gave to him. Are you with me on that? And look at what he does. He gives thanks. He broke them, and he gave them. He took them, he gave thanks, he broke them, and then he gave them. My brothers and my sisters, listen to me tonight. This is the pathway, and I didn't even plan. I don't have this in a note anywhere, but this is a pathway of how God will use anyone greatly. He'll take you, he'll be thankful. And then you'll go through a breaking. Like it or not, it's the way it is. And then the Bible says, he can give you. I've learned a couple things over life that the greatest times that God used me was right after a time when I felt the most broken. Who am I talking to tonight? God will allow a hurt, a pain. I don't have the answer. Did he create it? I don't believe so. But does he stand and allow it so he can be honored and glorified? Yes. And then in the midst of it, he'll give you a way. He took it. And he does that as well with our finances. If we'll give him what we have, he'll bless it. He'll break it, he'll multiply it, and then he'll give it. And he gave it, the Bible says, to his disciples, and the disciples gave it to the multitude. Isn't the Bible exciting right now? Isn't this? I just love this. In verse 37, it says, so they ate, they all ate, and they were filled, and they took up seven large baskets full of the fragments that were left. You ever been out to dinner, been with somebody, and after everything is done, and the waitress comes over and says, "Would you like a box?" "Yes." "And I want that bread, and I want the butter, and I want their salad." And that's what these disciples were doing. "We want it all. We can't believe this. Look at, because it gets good." Now those who ate, remember what we started off with, 7 loaves of bread and a few, what size fish? What size fish? Say it again. What size fish? Now those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. I should have asked the theologian before. I've heard all kinds of numbers of what that could be. 6,000, 8,000, 10,000. But the point is they were in the wilderness. They had 7 loaves of bread and a few little fish. I just love that. Chris told me this joke this week. He says, "How does a Hispanic man cut a pizza with Little Caesars?" And I'm reading. Some of you didn't get it, but you'll get it later. It's just cute and funny. And when I looked at that, seven loaves and little fish, all I could think of was Little Caesars. But look at what they did. They fed all those people, and they had leftovers. Listen to my brothers and sisters. What you give to God, it will never be that God takes the last thing you have. He'll take it. He'll multiply it. He'll give it. And you'll have more at the end than what you started off with. Amen. So, there's a couple thoughts in this, and then I'll just share what we can learn. The place of ministry that he was at. I want you to look at where he was at. He's in public with this action. He is available at the place where there was a need. I want you to get out of your mind that you have to have things got to be just perfect. You got to be in the right place at the right time. God wants to use you no matter where you are, right out in public. If you're out somewhere and you see a need, there's an anointing that will be upon you if you exercise the gift that God has put in you at that moment to do something extraordinary. The second thought is here that no one he speaks to or heals, he looks as an outcast in his eyes. Remember the scripture? The lame, the broken, the maimed, the blind, the mute, everybody. He healed them all. He is with everyone from every kind of background, and he demonstrates the love that he has for everyone and shows no partiality. Boy, I just love that. Isn't that so good? He demonstrates, in the midst of this, great compassion. After he healed and restored so many, after he did marvelous works, you'd think, man, that was enough. And I just had this conversation in our staff meeting this week that we can't, after we have a great victory, sit back in the chair and say, "Whew, boy, glad that's over with. Now we can relax." Uh-uh. And here's a perfect example. Jesus heals all of these sick people, and then he's looking around because the needs never stop. And the Bible says that he looked out and he says, "We got to feed them. We got to help them. We can't just leave them alone. We can't say, 'I'm tired.' We can't say, 'Well, God, you know, I'm done with that. You know, I put in my time.'" There's no end to the servant heart that God wants to place in every one of us. He has called you. And he's always, his heart is always to help humanity. And he'll help humanity through you, not just when it's convenient. Come on, somebody. When it's inconvenient, God will want to use you to be a blessing to somebody. I can't tell you the amount of times that I had to rush out the door, or I'm on my way, I'm in a hurry, and somebody stops me or calls me and says, "Please, can you talk to me 1 minute?" My first reaction is, "Well, no, don't you know I've got to go do something for the Lord?" And God says, "Wait a minute, right here in front of you." He shows power and provision because he never wants anyone to go away empty. That where when you come or where you go, he will provide and he will supply. He's a good God. And he chooses cooperation. Check this out now. He could have done everything that he did. He healed the people on his own. But when it came to feeding them, he chose to use what the disciples had. Now, couldn't he? I mean, he could have created a big buffet right out there in the wilderness. He could have snapped his hand. Man, there could have been sushi, and there could have been Chuck Wood's favorite, sushi and chicken, and Chinese food, and a Mexican buffet, and he could have created all of that. But yet, he looked at them and he said, what do you have? What do you have? His purpose is always to use you and I to bring a miracle to somebody's life. Hear this now tonight. Listen, you really got to believe this in your heart tonight. That he wants to use you. Every one of you. He could have spoke food even in their belly. If they were hungry, he didn't even have to provide food for them to eat. He could have said, be full. In my name. And they was like, ooh, man, I just felt that going, man. I just felt that big Five Guys burger just go right down my throat right there. He could have done that. But if he did that, he would have never given you and I the opportunity to participate in a miracle. Is there anybody here tonight that wants to be a part of a miracle in somebody else's life? Come on. When you experience that, nothing else takes the place of that. He takes what we have in our hand. He blesses it, and then he puts it back in their hands, blessed. And when they begin to use it, he develops and he creates a miracle from it. Man, I like that. And it's the same in every area of our life. So here, I just want to close out with these three things. Number one, there's something about you that can lift someone else up. You and you alone. God can, and he could use someone else, but he has called you in a particular way, in a particular time. You've got the right touch. You've got the right voice, no matter where you are. And I believe that for some of you, some of the best stories, they haven't even been written yet. God's got a plan for your life. He's going to do something great inside of you. I don't care how young, how old, where you've been, what you haven't done, what you have done. He wants to use you and you in a powerful way to touch another life somewhere, some way that only you could reach. Come on tonight. Number two, there is something you possess that can bless someone. It's your touch. It's how you just handle yourself. It's your gentleness. It's whatever that you can only do. I used to think a long time ago, well, God, he doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He can use anybody he wants. And then I've just observed something. You do gain a little bit the older you get. That God puts an anointing on you to do only what you can do. No one else can do exactly what you can do. I just think of all the times through the years of different experiences. You know, I've got my own calling. I got my own anointing. And God, he changes you from season to season. You're not going to stay the way you are right now. And in 6 months, a year, 5 years, you'll be different. I'm different than I was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, certainly 20, 25 years ago. I'm a different person. My gifts and anointings have changed to another level. I can do some of the things that I did then, but I'm more effective in doing what I know God has called me to do. I run in our lane. And when we're in that lane, God, he blesses it. He uses it. He anoints us. And only you can do what he has called you to do. Get that? Get that? See, I'm trying to encourage you tonight that you and I need to have this heart of serving at all times. At all times. Not when it's convenient. Far from when it's convenient. You'll get the biggest result normally when it's not convenient. I think, you know, the different times when I have pondered this, I might even talk about a little bit more on Sunday, how we change over time, our giftings, our callings, our anointing. Paul, was it 2 years ago we went to Ireland? And you know, here's Paulie, relatively newly saved. I didn't even know it. He's sharing a testimony in Ireland with all these people. He says, yeah, I felt God spoke to me to go to Ireland and Nepal. And God saved me, delivered me. So I had a garage sale, and I sold all my marijuana paraphernalia that I used to raise the money to go on these mission trips. I'm sitting there. I didn't know whether to say amen or oh my God. Somebody said, did he come with you? I go, I've never seen the guy before. I don't know who he is. Paulie who? And we're out on the street. And we're praying for people. And Paulie's wanting God to use him out on the street. And people are running away from him. They're running away from him. I mean, you know, he can come across, you know, he's got that Italian, you know, little... Yeah, it's not swagger, it's dagger is what it is. But you think about it, here's my point, that here he's out there and he's in Ireland. He's getting discouraged. He's going up to people, and people see him coming, and they're like this, they're running away. And the rest of us would go up, hey, how you doing? They sit there and he go, I don't know what's wrong. He said, people... They just run. I go, okay, Paulie, listen, I'm going to help you. I give them, you know, a little five-minute lesson on how you approach people, how you go up. And I said, there's a guy over there. He walks up. I'll never forget as long as I live. After I told him 5 minutes, I said, you got that? Yep, I got it. You know, I'm going to do this? Yep, I'm going to do this. And he goes walking around. A guy sees him, and he just starts running away from him like that. And here comes Paulie back, you know, ready to give up, throwing the towel. But I'm going to tell you what happened. He didn't stay there. Now... If you hang around Paulie, you find out, man, I met this guy out on the porch. I was walking through the neighborhood, and I just said, hey, how you doing? Hey, can I pray for you? And he said, I'll walk up on the porch, and all of a sudden the guy will be telling me this and that. I pray for him. He received the Lord right then and there. I mean, there is an anointing on his life to go where no man can go. Amen. See, you thought I was going to leave you in Ireland. I brought you out, didn't I? But nobody can do like he can do it. Oh, you all are called to do that to a measure. But I'm going to tell you, take him to the roughest. We were in France. And Chris and I, we're walking through. I've walked through streets. I've witnessed on streets. I carried a boombox through the streets of Rochester. I mean, I walked out. I'd preach. And I mean, I've been crazy. Preaching right out on the street. Walking right up into dark places, handing out tracts. And, hey, can I pray for you? I mean, just wild stuff. And we're in Marseille, France, and we're walking in some pretty difficult neighborhood. And we had a guy at an early morning men's Bible study say, you know how you pray for people? Let God take them right up to the edge? Yeah. He said, I felt God speak to me. He's going to take you right to the edge. Thinking, I don't know if that was a good word or what. I said, okay. And we're out there, and we're walking down. It's a Muslim neighborhood. They don't like us. I've never felt as much rejection anywhere in my life. And here we come up, and there's this group of guys. What do you call them? Rastafarians? Did I say that right? Hey, I've learned a few things. Yeah, I'm cultural. And I said, and they were rough. And I looked at Chris, I go, you want to go to the edge? He looked at me like, are you kidding me? And he said, yeah, let's go. And we walked up, and we start talking to these guys. And those guys let us pray. And Chris prayed for those guys. He walks up there all gangster looking, and they're like, I'm thinking, man, I hope they don't pull something out and start shooting us, thinking we're going to roll them or something. But nobody could do it like he could do it. And nobody can do some things like you. I could keep on going here. The stories that tell people that God has used them in a powerful way. Nobody, there's something you possess that God wants to use to bless someone. And until you get out there and just give yourself away, you're never going to determine and find out who and what it is. But my friends, when you find it out, nothing can take the place of it. And three, there is something in your serve that God will use to impact someone's eternal trajectory. Listen. When you talk to somebody about the Lord, you affect not only them, you affect their family, you affect the family that's going to come, you affect their grandchildren. If Jesus doesn't come back, We got to get out of this notion that he's going to come, just come back tomorrow. He might, and I'm all for it. But I'm not going to huddle down and just hold on and say, Jesus, okay, here I am. Come back and get me. The Bible says do business till he comes. And you and I are called to do the work of the Lord and tell others about Jesus. And when you do and they receive Christ, then everything changes. Hallelujah. I told somebody today, I had just a great time with an individual, just having some challenges, and I said, I want you to know something. You need to keep moving forward. You need to keep on going because your grandchildren are looking to you right now. They don't have grandchildren. Some of you young folks, you don't have grandkids. You're like, I'm not even married. You got grandkids shut up in your loins, and they're waiting for you to do something great for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I wish somebody would have told me that when I was a young man. That someday I would have grandchildren that would be singing a song to me on my birthday. Hallelujah. I would have given it even more to God than I ever gave him. And I'm going to give him more in the last trimester of my life. I'm going to lay the heat on for the glory of the Lord. Come on, how many of you do that with us? Amen. Now close your eyes, bow your head, I'm going to pray for you. I want to believe God to do something great in your life. Just open up your hands to him now. Just say, God, I want to serve you. I want to give my life to you. For some of you, you know, it's not preaching at the pulpit. It might not even be witnessing on the street. Maybe it's just taking somebody for a cup of coffee. Or maybe it's just shaking somebody's hand. It can be in a myriad of ways. There's no set book on how it's has to be done. You might be in an elevator somewhere and God might move on you to say something to somebody. Talk to him about Jesus. Just say to him, can I pray for you? Lord, work in our lives. Work in our church, our homes, our family. Be honored and be glorified as the result of who we are and what you have called us to. I pray for my friends, my brothers and my sisters tonight. God, I thank you for your love for them. I thank you for the love that you've put in my heart for them. And I just ask you, God, that you will manifest who you are through them, God. Through them, Lord. Begin in their own homes, God. Begin to work in every one of our homes, God, in our relationship with our families. Heal what's broken. Restore what's been disconnected. Make alive what seems to have died, I pray. Thank you, Jesus. Paulie, I want you to keep your eyes closed, your head bowed just for a minute. Paulie, I want you to come down, stand right down here. Chris, I want you to come. I want you to stand down here. Ryanie, I want you to come and stand over here. Chuck, you stand over there as well. I just sense for God to use you guys tonight. Maybe you just need a little help and a direction in your life before you leave. Just come down. You don't have to get into anything. Just say, pray for me. These guys will just lay hands on you. Pray for you. Believe God to do something great in your life, God. Now, I just want to give you all the thanks and praise, Lord. What a beautiful time together in your house tonight, Lord. Continue to do great things in your people, I pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. You need one of these guys to pray for you. Come right down. Come right down before you leave. We'll be done here in just a moment. The Lord will take and use this time in a powerful, powerful way in your life.